The Union and CITR present Charlotte Gainsbourg, Sunday, April 11th at the Vogue Theater. The performance will feature material from her celebrated new album, IRM, produced by Beck. And joining Gainsbourg on the first leg of her North American tour, alt indie band AM. This is an all ages event. Doors open at 7, show starts at 8. Tickets available through Ticketmaster, at Zulu and Red Cat Records, and online at unionevents.com. Charlotte Gainsbourg and special guest AM. Sunday, April 11th at the Vogue Theater. Presented by The Union and CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
You are listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners. However you've decided to spend this hour with us, we are very, very, very glad to have you. It's one of those times in our lives where we're talking fast food culture in so many different ways. We don't have time to eat. We don't have make time to sleep. Our Blackberries, our iPhones are going off constantly, letting us know that we have Facebook messages. It's ongoing, a Twitter message. We're using our TweetDeck, all our applications, and just go, go, go. It's to the point that sometimes I wonder, can we even be intimate anymore? And what do we need to do as a society? What are some of the things that maybe we have done in the past and maybe some things we should be revisiting? And perhaps stuff that we haven't even looked at in Western culture. So tonight, I have a very, very special guest on the show. His name is Kevin, and I am going to get him to say his last name because I am just dreadful at this.
Scrimmager.
Scrimmager. I don't know why, Kevin, I'm having such a difficult time saying your last name. Can you say it one more time for me?
Scrimmager.
Scrimmager. It's a very nice last name.
Scottish.
Well, I'm half Scottish, so I'm a Mac. But tonight we are going to be talking about traditional Chinese medicine, TCM, for those of you, and just some of the benefits and how it affects us, and perhaps maybe we should invite some more of it into our lives and finding time for it. So you decide, you think, you decide, you make up your own mind that we're here to find out a little bit more about everything. So Kevin, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here, Caroline.
Well, you're welcome. So why don't we start with a little bit just in terms of what it is, basically, because I know myself, I don't know a lot about it, but I do know that at one point when I was in my late 20s, I was sick all the time and was getting nauseous from not eating. And my aunt actually took me down to Chinatown, and I ended up, were able to diagnose me as hypoglycemic before my blood work, because I kept going back to the doctor and they couldn't find anything wrong with me. And they made me these absolutely it smelt the house up for days, and these horrible herbs. But it worked, and as long as I actually take care of myself and remember to eat more often and things. But the woman who we saw was just absolutely phenomenal, and I was really, really, really glad. And all she did was she looked at my fingernails, if I remember correctly, took my pulse. Yeah. I think she looked at my eyes, too, if I remember. It's been quite a few years. But I was just amazed that she could tell so much about me so quickly, and that kind of blew me away.
Chinese medicine is amazing. It's the world's oldest documented medicine. There's textbooks from over 2,000 to 3,000 years. There's case studies that have been documented that are at least 2,500 years old.
2,500 years old?
2,500 year old case studies.
Wow.
Written in Chinese. Yeah. It's that's part of the reason why I went into it. I looked into medical school. I looked into a number of other options. I even looked into naturopathy, all of which are great. But it just seemed for me that the foundations of Chinese medicine go back so far. Mm-hmm. Some people say even, you know, there's evidence in Mongolia as much as 3,000 and 4,000 years they were doing acupuncture first on horses. Yeah, there's evidence of them on horses. That's why they say it's 5,000 years old, because there's evidence of it being done on horses originally. I guess in Mongolia, horses were they're the most valuable resource there, and so they treated their horses very well, and they gave them only the best, and that was acupuncture. And so we're seeing now, some of the amazing things with Chinese medicine, particularly herbal medicine. They found a sap from a tree, one that grows in China, Afghanistan, and Africa, that actually is more effective on even H1N1 than some of the current antivirals that we have. And so with all these things with antibiotics and people getting older, arthritis, slow onset diseases, you're starting to see Chinese medicine is really, really starting to shine, and people are getting more and more familiar with it. And it's not uncommon to hear that kind of story that you just told, mainly because most people, they're starting to catch on. Mm-hmm. But most people who I see, in private practices, what I call medical refugees.
Medical refugees.
Yeah, they've seen it all. They've seen their doctor many, many times, and then they're stuck with, you're going to have to take this medication. Mm-hmm. And, they found even standard NSAIDs or ibuprofen. If you take 800 milligrams of ibuprofen for more than a week, you're going to have liver damage.
So really?
So even common over-the-counter medications that, are very highly concentrated, you're risking severe side effects and long-term damage. Where with Chinese herbs and particularly with acupuncture, you generally tend to get results. Right now, it's a little bit expensive. But if you go to some of the community acupuncture places like Polk or various people, I myself have a sliding scale, you can get inexpensive treatment for you know, pretty much anything. And also there's no reason why you can't combine the two, mm-hmm. you know, or three, or you can see your Ayurvedic person, you can see your Chinese medicine person, you can go to yoga, you can see your doctor, you can go to your specialist. And doctors are getting more and more familiar and finally starting to admit, even though there's been studies for over 50 years, particularly for pain, that acupuncture works. It's scientifically proven. So no matter what anyone says, it is science and it has been proven.
Is that something in Vancouver in particular? And I was going to ask because we've got a huge Asian population and the other half of me is Chinese, so I can honestly say that. But I was just wondering, do you think that might be one of the reasons for the transition as to why there's a little bit more wide acceptance? Or is it because we're such laid-back West Coasters that we may not be so Western, even though we're pretty West?
Mm. I think in the West, I think the Chinese have had a little bit of influence on the government. Mind you, there's been a lot of Chinese in Toronto that have been forcing the government to regulate and approve Chinese medicine, but they have not had as good of results as here. I think people in the West just tend to be more open. You know, there's more yoga, and they tend to educate themselves, and they don't want to take the doctor's word for it, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe they realize there is other options, and they probably lots of other people they've talked to that said, oh, I just did this for a while or whatever, and some natural therapy, and it helped their arthritis or their headaches or menstrual pain or whatever it might be. And realizing that self-care and looking after yourself and seeing the body as a garden to nourish and nurture as opposed to a car that you just want to change parts and put a new fuel additive. You know, it's a different perspective. And so I honestly, in China, some people say Chinese medicine is dying out. Just because there, as all these other countries, they become modernized, the people tend to think that Western medicine is superior and that they see the wealthier people, that's what they choose, because in other countries it's more expensive to get Western therapy than it is to get herbal therapy or go to your local shaman or herbal doctor. And so a lot of people, with education and modernization, you're seeing a lot of these things, and it's a shame, a lot of these things being slowly dying out. And even in China, acupuncture and Chinese medicine is definitely secondary
in comparison to Western medicine practices.
Yeah, and so... But you're seeing pharmaceutical companies starting to buy up herbal companies and doing more and more research. And you're starting to see the modern Western medical biomedicine.
Kind of seeing a hybrid?
Yeah.
Okay, which might be actually kind of healthy in some ways. Perhaps, because even though I do question some of our Western medicine, I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater either. So there have been some interesting advances and stuff. But I do find it fascinating where here it's like people would love to get Chinese medicine, but can't sometimes because, again, with the prices. So it's interesting that in China it's dying, where it's the exact opposite. And do you think that's partly because of the rise of use of internet and things like that, where you can actually look up and see more things?
I think... Or
is it more of a status thing?
In my opinion, there's a combination of things going on. I think a lot of it is just simply that, like most of my patients are not young. I rarely have people under the age of 40. Mm. It's people who...
Don't use the internet.
Don't use the internet, and they just have chronic, slow onset chronic problems that have went on and on and on, and they've went to the doctor, mm-hmm. you know, literally some of them hundreds of times, and they keep trying new medications, and they realize that the medication is not curing, it's simply managing, and they just don't want to put up with it, and so they decide to, you know, maybe their wife pushes the husband into it, or usually men have to be kind of pushed into it.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. We just don't want to admit that we have problems, and we've just been trained to keep going and keep working.
Our society does try and make men the strong ones, and as women, I know we need to honor that and let men you know, even though we do push and prod sometimes, it's got to be really careful not to do it as nagging. Because you guys were out there when we needed to hunt back in the day, where you'd be really super duper silent and wait to kill the game so you didn't communicate. Whereas we had to make lots of noise so the bears wouldn't come by when we were gathering and gathering all the berries and things and mining the children and making lots of noise so the wild animals didn't come by and steal our kids and eat them for breakfast or dinner or whatever.
Yeah. It seems that's true enough. We're still people of the forest, and that's one thing I find with all this Chinese medicine. The one thing we need to just get back to is our roots. And it was only, you know, the Industrial Revolution has only been 100 years. You know, internet is 20 years.
It's wild.
You know? Cell phones. I remember it was a big deal to have a cell phone. So. And now everyone has one, and so things have changed so rapidly. But basically, 500 years ago, we were still, you know, the women were picking berries and the men were going out and hunting, and we were spending a lot of time in nature and eating whole foods, a lot of uncooked foods, and drinking pure fresh spring water or well water, and fresh fish, and no GMOs and no pesticides and all that kind of thing, and life was a lot simpler. You know, at night the lights would go out. When the sun goes down, the lights go out, you know. And so it was quiet time, and there's more time for reflection and telling stories and communicating and really being with one another. And and I think a lot of the problems we have nowadays are related to that. There, a lot of people say it's all about stress, and that stress is the killer. And so, yes, people are living longer as a result of modern technology and things
all the
like
pesticides
that.
Are where I think are preservatives, actually, where it preserves us.
Yeah,
kind of reminds me of the Rubbermaid things, where you actually shove somebody in one of those things and keep them preserved, but inside they may be rotting and corroding.
And the next thing will be to download our brains into the computer so we can just stay digital, forever digital. But one of the things, just when we're on that topic, is Chinese medicine, because it's from so long ago, it still recognizes those patterns and changes, and that we're connected to the sun and the moon and the changes of the seasons, and so it. It sort of keeps us back, you know.
It grounds us.
Yeah, it tries. And that's the difference between it and Western medicine and a lot of the modern ideas of, trying to create balance and harmony with what is and learning to just be, you know, and that kind of thing.
And I think that's really important, too, because for those of you who are listening to Sexy Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR, I think a lot of you are in relationships, want to be in relationships, and want healthy sexuality. And I, for one, think that it starts with self-care. It starts with being balanced. It starts with eating well, taking care of yourself, watching your stress levels, and making sure you take time for self-care, because I think that's the best form of medication in a lot of ways. And with Chinese medicine, I think it's really, really important, especially if with relationships, because as you're saying, Kevin, just in terms of with stress, it so many other diseases, even though we're living longer. One of the things that we talked about in the green room before I had we were on the show tonight, it was just even where you and I were chatting about kidneys and stuff like that, in regards to where does stress, or where does fear, where does shame live in the body? Because when I had Margot Danilos, who's a cognitive therapist, on the show a couple weeks ago, she'd mentioned that men will go out of their way to avoid feeling shame, and women will go out of their way to avoid feeling fear. And it's interesting, which sometimes that can destroy us, both physically, emotionally, and of course spiritually. But in terms of that, I thought it was interesting, because I was asking, where do you see that in the body? And
Well, it's interesting. They often describe Chinese medicine as mind-body medicine, and we're seeing Western medicine also starting to embrace that, and seeing that different thoughts, emotions will affect the brain chemistry in particular. And since the beginning, Chinese medicine has always seen it, the whole person, the mind or thoughts or stresses are in the body, not particularly the brain is not separate from the body. So like you said, the kidneys tend to house, fear. If there's fear, it's going to drain the kidneys. Fear and shame, usually the liver will be involved with shame a little bit, and then you'll get stagnation and constricted blood flow. As people worry about things, they'll hang on to things. Worry tends to be more spleen. Grief and shame tends to be the lungs, actually.
The lungs.
Think about it. Yeah, it tends to be more lung related. So if you had a lot of grief and shame, you would you'd be more prone to things like asthma or just
bronchitis.
Colds, bronchitis, difficulty breathing. Just feeling sort of suffocated. And so, so we see all the emotions. It's good to have emotions. They should flow and change and move. And so, there's not one emotion is negative, but if you have one emotion for a long period of time, then it'll slowly keep edging away, and then you see people coming to acupuncture clinics or going to their doctors, and you do have the question: is what came first, the chicken or the egg? Did the kidney, this kidney problem, start from a fearful event that happened, or a worry that there, or a fear that they've had for a long time, a phobia or something, or did they have the kidney problem and then as a result they felt weak and not able to face up to the challenges of the future, and then as a result they might have developed a fearful or a phobia, or they block themselves from moving forward because they just don't have that kidney energy, that strong energy to move them forward. So either way, it doesn't matter. Once we sort of find out what it is and have a good idea with herbs and acupuncture and self-care and learning to center yourself and stay balanced and remember you're part of the earth, all those things can help to resolve. And if you have a clear flow of energy and blood, basically your body heals itself. And interesting thing I always tell people is, our skin is only 3 weeks old.
Really?
Yeah, well, the skin cells are born and then they come to the surface and they slough off and it takes about 3 weeks. So, that's why you want those penetrating oils put on your skin to seep down deep into those first few skin cells that are coming out, first being born, and so that they'll be plump and supple when they come to the surface, and it makes your skin look all beautiful. I used to work in a spa, so I have some idea of beauty. And also, people are getting acupuncture
for wrinkles as well.
It's a big thing right now.
I believe it.
Your liver is only 3 months old. Bones, at most any cell of your body, there's no cell that can live longer than about 7 years. So at any time, you're only 7 years old. And so it's interesting to think about that. There's your body is in constant flux and movement, and things are transforming and changing all
and
the
constantly
time.
Constantly evolving.
So at acupuncture, the theory of energy, and you take chakras or the energy meridians or whatever, is to try and keep that flow going. So when the new cells come out, they're healthy and nourished and loved and everything else. And that comes hand in hand with having a loving thought for yourself and being balanced within yourself and being in a loving partnership. Helps that.
One of the things you mentioned earlier, which I really liked, was you're mentioning at certain times of the day that certain meridians were. And I thought that was really fascinating, where with your partner, if you've got a partner in your life, how you can balance out. And I'd love to touch on that and just let our listeners know. We had mentioned in terms of you mentioning in the mornings that sometimes a woman, and correct me if I didn't get this properly, but the yin energy was lower in the morning for women, if I remember correctly.
The
meridian.
I have a rule: women are always right.
That's not true. We can always be evolved.
Very easy to remember. So women on the right side, their yin runs down. And then men on the left side, their yin meridians, which are on the inside, they run down as well. Mm. So if you have the two bodies, male and female, coming together, the meridians on the left and right side match up. So the meridians on the left side of the woman tend to go down in the morning, and then the men on the right side tend to go down. So if you put left and right together, then those two sides balance each other out, or help to enhance the flow on both sides. On the other side, of course, the meridians are going up.
Mm-hmm.
So they're both going up. And so then when you put them together, it sort of helps the flow of each one. And so if one is depleted, then it will help build up the other one, and vice versa. If one has too much energy, the other person tends to take that energy away. And so in terms of relationship and physical contact...
obviously, missionary would be lovely.
Yeah, missionaries. Or they used to call that, in Chinese, they had a name for that one. I had it written down.
That's okay. I know it's probably in the ancient text.
The flying dragon.
The flying dragon.
Yes.
That's kind of hot, actually. It's like, honey, let's do the flying dragon.
Do the flying dragon.
Please.
Yes.
Oh. Set me on fire.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, I could see why that would work, actually.
The Chinese have had... there's a treatise that was written about 2,000 years ago on the Sui Nui Ching. Yeah, and it's about Huang Ti, the Yellow Emperor, is having a conversation with the pure girl, or the
pure girl,
absolute girl, or something like that. Sui Nui Ching, Sui Nui was her name, and so she's kind of like a divine woman. And he has these conversations about how to have sex and, different techniques to increase health and all these kind of things to please the woman and to please the man. And to and the Taoists for years and years, of course, have seen, first it was with wisdom comes long life, but then they changed it to long life means wisdom, which isn't necessarily true. But
no, definitely not. Sometimes it's difficult to teach an old dog new tricks.
Seems like. Are we going
to take a short break in a sec, but what was I going to say in regards to all that? I think it's really important just in terms of just connecting with the partner. And then one other thing that you brought up earlier as well was about breathing.
Oh, breathing is probably the foundation of everything.
Okay, and it's interesting that that's in yogic practice, Ayurvedic, if I remember correctly as well, and with traditional Chinese medicine. So I think that's really cool. And obviously, there's a reason why that's kind of at the root of everything in so many different spaces.
Mm-hmm. We can talk about the details of that in Chinese physiology when we come back.
I would like that. And also, we can touch base in terms of... I've got a few interesting, sexy things that I didn't actually mention in our pre-chat.
Yes.
But I would like to just touch base in terms of for... women that may not be able to have an orgasm, and also touching in terms of for sex, in terms of longevity and just healthier, good, better quality of life, and why that is, and what we can learn from the ancient books, and perhaps do that to slow down and actually, instead of having sex within 2.5 minutes, which is the average. Yeah, it's supposed to be the
really?
Average for a man for having sex. Thankfully, I've got a partner that's so much better than that. But but for the average person out there, it is not that fun. And although that's not true, too, quickies can be fun as well. But I think it'd be really important to talk about the benefits. And perhaps there is a reason why in this fast food culture we should slow down and literally smell all sorts of things. Maybe not just the roses. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. And we will be right back. We're going to listen to a little bit more Frank Zappa, which I am playing for my boy. And right at the top of the show, we did play some Frank Zappa, Why Does It Hurt When I Pee? And now we're going to play a little bit of Keep It Greasy, a little bit of lube for your minds. We'll be right back.
Go down easy. there ain't enough. All these good girls are looking all the time. Good men is something that they can't find. Cause if they find one miraculously, they're trying to be loving as they can be. If they find one and let him go, chances are they might not never find one no more. Keep it breezy, so we'll pull down these hangs. Keep it breezy, so we'll pull down these hangs. Keep it breezy, so we'll pull down these hangs. That need to ease it behind. All you gotta do is grease it down and everything is fine. Keep it greasy, so we'll go down easy. Keep it greasy, so we'll go down easy. Keep it greasy, so we'll go down easy. Roll it over and grease it down and drive it through the whole town. Girl don't need no fancy grease. Get herself some rump release. Any kind of lube will do. Maybe from another part of you. From the north, from the south, take a little slobber from the side of your mouth. Brown it over, grease it down with. Here come that crazy scream. Keep it greasy, so it'll go down easy. Keep it greasy, so it'll go down easy. Keep it greasy, so it'll go down easy. Roll it over and grease it down.
That's
Sexy in Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
We are back, and if you're just joining us, we are listening to a little bit of Frank Zappa, Keep It Greasy, and I'm dedicating that to my sweetheart, who is listening right now and is just having a Zappagasm, if there's such a thing, which I really hope there is, so, because I think it's really important. And if you're just joining the show, we are chatting. Kevin and I have been chatting about traditional Chinese medicine and just how it can benefit you and your relationship. So I'm excited about trying that meridian thing tomorrow. So I think it could be really, really, really sexy. But before the break, we were chatting about all sorts of stuff. And one of the big things I really wanted to touch base on before the end of the show is how it can benefit us in terms of taking care of ourselves sexually.
Well, it's getting very big with infertility. People are starting to turn to it for prostate problems. And also, like you were saying before, women having problems with orgasms.
Mm-hmm.
And for the longest time, everyone always thought Chinese herbs were used only for impotence.
Really?
Yeah, there's like for so long, people just seem to think those little bottles of herbs were just simply for...
almost like their version of Viagra.
Yeah. and there is some truth to that.
Really?
There is.
Okay, shark's fin?
The reason... No, I don't... don't use a lot of shark's fin. And actually, Chinese medicine has got a bad rap for extinct species, bear gallbladder, all these kind of weird, out-of-the-way things that... people sometimes use, but usually only very wealthy Chinese people would ever use those things, and it's hard to tell which ones are real and which ones aren't, and it's a real black market, and it is a sad thing, but most practitioners in North America, you can be sure if you were having a formula with those kind of ingredients, it would be about $500 an ounce.
How much?
Well, you know, it'd be fairly expensive.
Wow.
You know, if I don't know how much, even more so now, but even in the past, you wouldn't spend $300 or $400 or $500 on a herbal formula. So you can be pretty safe that anything that you'd be taking probably wouldn't have those kind of things in it.
Okay.
And nowadays with the World Wildlife Fund, most Chinese medicine practitioners are involved, or I know the Chinese Medicine Association donates to World Wildlife Fund, and we try to keep it strict and make sure those kind of things don't happen, because there's all sorts of other things that we do use that work just as well. But getting back to impotency and Chinese medicine, why it's seen as aphrodisiacs, they're all aphrodisiacs.
All the Spanish fly stuff.
Yeah. and a big part of it is because sexual health and physical health are really combined, and in Chinese medicine it's seen almost as the same thing. And so particularly in a man, the rigidity and their ability to have an erection is a sign of health. It's one of the clear signs that they're healthy, and whatever problem they got, it probably isn't too serious. And one of the things about that is it's a reflection of the kidney health. And the kidneys are the foundation of all the other organs. It's kind of related to the root chakra, if you think of other terms. And so the health of the kidney, if the kidneys are strong, everything else is supported by the kidneys, and so then everything else will be strong and healthy as well. And so as a result, a lot of the formulas, particularly for chronic conditions, have some kidney-supporting ingredients. One of the main ones, of course, is ginseng.
Hmm.
And so it tends to, you'll know if you take ginseng, you have more energy, and your sex drive will go up as well. And so,
really?
Well, it tends to, yeah.
Especially, I should stay clear from it then.
Well, it's different for men than from women, too.
That makes sense.
Men are yang, and they need more. They're the fire, and women are the water. And so, you know, when they come together, it's fire and water. And so
they make steam.
Very steamy. Yeah. And so with men in particular, if you want to get into impotency, usually it's a kidney, could be kidney yin deficiency, which they'd be have more heat signs because they'll be more redder and they'll be sort of more thin. It could be kidney yang deficiency, where they would be more cold inside. They tend to be a bit more chubbier. Those kind of things. Then also they could have a damp stagnation where there's too much fluid down low, and so the circulation is impeded, and so then they have problems. You know, they're a bit more flaccid because there's just poor circulation, or it could be cold in the lower jowl, as they say. So the kidneys in the lower area of the body just has poor circulation, and so it tends to be cold. And so if, you know, if they get aroused or whatever, just things don't pump through quite as well. Because, again, it's all about circulation.
Pun intended.
Yeah, and then also the main meridian that runs through the sexual organs is the liver meridian. And so the liver meridian is also most associated with depression and a lot of mental illness, you know, ups and downs, mania, those kind of things, usually relating to depression. That's why a lot of people with infertility, impotence, have liver qi stagnation, and that can just be from being angry or frustrated or not getting what you want or what you think you deserve. And so then that chronic frustration, and then in modern society is stress. The liver is the harmonizer and the balancing organ for everything. So if you eat spicy food, it'll balance it out. If you eat too much alcohol, of course, it's obvious the liver filters it out and cleans it, so your blood stays pure, clean, fresh, and healthy. And so, and change, you know, I just get back from the Philippines, and so now my liver is working overtime just to get used to the time change. And so it tends to be a harmonizer for the hormones and all those kind of things, and it keeps things balanced. And so if things get imbalanced, the liver takes the first kick. And then once the liver, if it gets lots of damage and abuse, then it starts to take from the kidneys. And then so then it gets more serious when you get into the kidneys. And generally it's not till you're older that you start to see kidney problems, but low back pain and knee pain and things like that are related to kidneys. You know, that's kind of how it works. You take in food, and the stomach and spleen help to digest the food, and then the air from the lungs mixes in, and then you get these nutrients, and then they are filtered through the liver, and then that in turn goes down and then helps feed the kidneys. The kidneys are associated with adrenal glands as well, and so stress also, of course, affects the kidneys in a great deal because the adrenals just keep pumping and pumping and pumping.
Yeah.
And so then they get a bit atrophied, and if they get atrophied or small or they're just used up from not enough sleep, not enough exercise, not eating well enough, then you start getting all kinds of sexual health problems. So a lot of times I've had three couples come to me for infertility, and I treat them for liver qi stagnation, and they all were able to conceive babies. One in particular wasn't able to keep the baby because she had, her kidneys were weak as well. So she had a combination of liver qi stagnation with a kidney deficiency as well, and so her uterus wasn't strong enough. There wasn't enough kidney energy to hold that fetus, and then she ended up losing it. And so I had mentioned that she should keep coming for treatment, and she didn't, and so then that was what happened. So
wow,
we can get into some more details about that, but generally for women, infertility, they're again kidney yin deficiency, which is also the same as menopause, is generally a kidney yin deficiency as well.
I almost need to have you on for a whole show about menopause.
Yeah, well, yin is that fluid and the hormones and sort of the moistening, nourishing fluids in the body, and when they get sort of dried up, that's yin deficiency. And yang is the energy and the strength and the movement, and if you don't have that warmth and energy, that would be yang deficiency. And so you have kidney yin and kidney yang, and then also you can have blood stasis, which is just the blood isn't moving, and so you can get a cold uterus, and then so then the woman can't conceive because she has a stasis. Damp heat is another problem. That could be an infection, could be a viral infection or a bacterial infection, but damp heat tends to be more viral related, but not necessarily. It could just be there's a lot of fluid down there that's not moving around, and then there's excess heat. The body's trying to get rid of it, but it just can't. Mm. So there's like an inflammation. And so, and then the final one is just blood deficiency. And so that's the person, it's like anemia. It's similar. Their liver is just not producing blood properly, or it's not flooding the body with blood properly. And so so those are the main, five main things.
As to why for infertility. So I have a question for you. One of the things we touched on before we had the break was the fact that if having basically healthy sex is equals longevity, according to some of the ancient texts, and I may have that, I may be paraphrasing you very badly, and I apologize.
Well, the literature is fascinating. It's just the legends and the stories. There's a story of a empress who attained immortality by taking the seed of 1,000 men. And so then it's like the semen or the seed in Taoist cosmology or legends is the same as yin, and it's like the purest form of yin. And because if you combine that yin with the woman's energy, then of course you can create life. So, so their belief was that this is the purest, and so they would actually swallow that and take it in. But then they combine that with a meditation where they bring that down into the lower part of their body and then create this spiritual fetus, so to speak, that creates this chi and this energy, which is centered. There's some debate. Is it in the center between the kidneys, or is it on the right kidney? You know, it's a constant debate, but it's the area of the dantian. And so it's three fingers below the navel, and it's a major energy center in the body. There's a number. There's one in the chest, and then there's one more in the middle, you know, around the stomach. But the main one, again, because it's connected to the kidneys, is the dantian. And so all these things, if you read, it's all about making a big chi ball, a ball of energy that's stored in the dantian. And then you take that jing energy, and then it gets transformed through meditation and daily practice. It gets transformed into chi. And then once you start getting chi forming, which is actually not that hard to do, you start having a lot more energy, you feel a lot more happy and healthy. And also the Chinese idea of chi is there's also the Wei Qi, which surrounds the body and creates a force field almost, which protects you from illness and pathogenic factors like bacteria and virus. So if you have a super strong Wei Qi, then you tend not to get colds or anything like that. And then finally that gets transformed from the qi, gets transformed into the shen, which is more in the brain and the heart area. The mind tends to be in the heart, and so in Chinese medicine, not the brain. And then you get that spiritual energy, and that's when you start to get the ideas of enlightenment or Japanese satori or those kind of things. And the main thing is with women, it's thought in Chinese lore that they have an unlimited supply of energy.
Really?
Because they can have children upon children, and so they don't have to worry so much about having too much sex, which is good news for the girls out there.
Yes, it is. Well, as long as we don't drain the poor men, because...
Yes. But the male thing that's interesting is retention of semen. And so...
So men are not supposed to ejaculate, is what I'm hearing?
They can ejaculate, but...
But not without actually physically releasing.
As time goes... Yes. But when you're young, like in your 20s and early 30s even, it really doesn't matter so much. And, you know, you kind of have an unlimited supply of energy at that time, too. Men do.
Okay.
But as you get older... you have to be a little bit more careful, particularly in the winter time, or if you're really stressed or really tired, then draining your seminal fluid, ejaculating. My idea reading it is that the brain or the body prioritizes the reproduction organs ahead of anything else.
Okay.
And so if you drain that seminal fluid, then the body's going to take all the other nutrients it can muster and try
to replenish it.
And so if you continue to, you know, ejaculate, you're going to replenish something else. And if there's not enough nutrients, then the brains are going to get less nutrients, or the bones will get less nutrients, or the liver or the heart or the blood will get less nutrients, so that, you know, because it's all about keeping the reproduction going. So,
mm-hmm.
so there's all, of course, some debate about that. But in my personal experience in talking to other people, you know, if you learn to retain your semen by pressing on the perineum and just learning to take it easy, you know, once things get close to the point, then learning to sort of back off and ease off. And then if it goes too far, then you can press the point near the prostate and the perineum, and then you can sort of stop the fluid from coming out, and then it just stays in and it's reabsorbed into the body rather than being lost.
So where exactly is that when we're telling for all our listeners out there?
Well, it's between the anus and the scrotum, and you can just sort of feel around. I usually use two or three fingers, and you just sort of press down at the point before orgasm, and then you can sort of block that flow. And
does it feel good though? Still,
it feels about the same, you know. Except you don't have like quite. I'd say it feels 90% as good.
Okay, and how does that feel for the women? Since you're mentioning in the ancient text, where having the semen of 1,000 men was, you know, really empowering for a woman because it was the yin. So how does that feel for a woman if she's not getting it?
I think they sometimes feel they've missed out.
And, yes, I can understand that.
The advantage
I can imagine.
The advantage is that by not releasing, you can have sex again quite soon after. A man can continue to have coitus, or whatever word you want to use, intercourse almost indefinitely until they would get physically tired. And so that's the advantage, is that the old go all night, you can, and you'll feel rejuvenated and healthy and like you had a great workout. Where if you kind of let it go, as an older guy, like in my 40s, I noticed just letting it go, the next day even you feel kind of sluggish and tired, and you realize you're kind of recovering. Where if you don't, the next day you feel great. You know, you don't feel that difference. And so for men in particular, what usually happens if someone is having a big weekend, they kind of do that until the last time, and then they'd sort of let it go normally the last time, you know, so that the woman is satisfied. But you know, some women, they get used to it, but it's a new concept for a lot of people to do that, and it does seem a bit awkward and a bit weird, and most Western medical people think that it might not even be all that healthy. But from people who are starting to do it and using these techniques, and they're old as the hills, it actually has the opposite effect of rejuvenating you and making you feel younger and empowered. And there's all those other things where being with the woman, because there's the yin and yang balance, there's those micronutrients from saliva and from the vaginal fluids, and they have hormones and things like that are absorbed into the man, and vice versa. The saliva from the man into the woman, and there's another balancing that happens, not just that energetic balance.
So kissing is good, is what I'm hearing.
Particularly if the person doesn't have any cavities.
Really?
If a person doesn't have cavities, you should take a sample of their saliva and put it in your mouth, because they obviously have the enzymes that stop people from getting cavities.
I have feelings, so I'm probably not that healthy to kiss.
Anyway. But there's lots of information. There's Mantak Chia has courses you can take on it.
Wow.
But I think what we were talking about before is just being present, and going from the sexual revolution to sexual evolution, realizing that this can be a spiritual path. Mm-hmm. Sex can be a spiritual path, and it's something that you can go deeper and deeper, particularly if you have a loving partner, and you can start to explore yourself, not just on the physical, emotional, but also on the spiritual. And, you know, mm-hmm. you hear all the, you know, people talking about tantra and having full body orgasms and you know, having, you know, feeling themselves leave their body and, you know, having these sort of space age connections, swirly energy. You know, there's all kinds of, people have all kinds of experiences. Mm-hmm. Once they start to experience sex in a different way and more of a stillness. Some people even describe, there's another way of orgasming where it's more of a valley than a peak, where you try and just absorb yourself deeper and deeper and deeper into the other person. And so you become more and more sensitive. And so that you almost have like what I call micro sex, where the person, if you just, even the breathing becomes stimulating. And so, you know, people both get so sort of stimulated and not quite, I don't know what the word, but as you get deeper and deeper into sort of a meditative state while you're together, it's a whole other world. You know, it's a whole other experience.
Yeah, I can definitely say it is. I'm pretty lucky.
So. Yeah. And so, you know, it's, we get hints from these ancient texts, and there's the Tao of Sex and Health and Longevity by Daniel Reed. There's the Tao of Love and Sex by Jolan Chang. There's Stephen Russell has the Tao of Sexual Massage. Of course, Mantak Chia has love, you know, healing through the Tao. So there's a wide range of information, and the simple things are safe, you know, like looking at each other, just spending time doing massage, you know, things like that, and just starting to get more connected.
Breathing. Yeah,
breathing.
Like the tantric. Yeah, breathing, making the eye gazing.
A lot of this stuff came from the same thing. Like if you notice Ayurvedic medicine, you have, they do tongue, they do pulse, they recognize the same meridian system. They also, but they put more preference on the doshas, and where we have more preference on the organ systems. And then also they tend to not use acupuncture. They tend to use massage and oils and things to absorb into the body, as opposed to, you know, we use needles.
Mm-hmm.
So there's differences in treatment, but the diagnostics are
very similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Okay.
And some people think maybe they came from the same place.
I can believe that. I think there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
So what's next for you, Mr. Kevin? Where can people find out more about you and if they want to come see you? Because one of the things that you mentioned when we were in the green room earlier is a lot of times when people come in, just in general, they don't talk about their sexuality. And sometimes when you're seeing, whether it be a Western doctor, whether you're going to see your Chinese medicine practitioner, that it's really important to talk about some of that stuff because it's keys in terms of your wellness, and sometimes it's good for them to be able to diagnose you properly. So where, because you are very, you know, comfortable where you people can talk to you about this stuff, where can they find you?
Well, they can locate me on Facebook, Kevin Scrimmager, and they can send me a message. They couldn't call me. I guess I could give my phone number, 604-346-8551. And you can give me a call. And I usually just work out of my home, and then I do house calls as well.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm happy to talk anytime.
And I'd love to have you back on again as well.
And so...
But definitely, people should definitely give you a call because I know it's getting chatty and I just realized we've gone after 11, so I apologize about that.
Okie doke.
But because up next is Hans Claus's Misery Hour, and Marianne's a very, very sexy man to be miserable with. So, but you have been a very fun man to have on this show, so I would love to have you back again. So
sure.
And let's give your phone number one more time for people if they are interested in finding out some more information.
604-346-8551.
346-8551. That's perfect. Thank you so much, Kevin, for being on the show.
You're very welcome. Talk to you again.
That would be wonderful. Okay. And as I was mentioning earlier, up next is Hans von Claus's Misery Hour. He's a very sexy man to be miserable with. And I'm looking forward to being on the show. Hans, may I play one more song?
No.
No?
Already.
I've gone over already. It's a no. Well, I'm going to start it. He can always fade this out. A little bit of Frank Zappa. And this is for my honey. She's in the green room waiting for me right now. A little bit of titties and beer. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR.
Talking about her in my baby, in the side of the mountain. I noticed even the crickets were acting weird up here, and so I figured I'd hire she's drinking a little beer. I said, give me some of that, would you?
Is it right? Got it. You don't want any. You're specifically wanted like that other.
If any member of the family should die whilst in the shelter from contamination, I put them outside. But remember to tag them first for identification.
And squeeze the tubes and empty bottles. I take a
bottle.
Stop.
Specifically wanted.